In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do not remember what others have done to you, but remember what you have done to God. If the servant had kept his fault squarely before his eyes, he would not have been so cruel to his fellow servant. His master forgave him the equivalent of millions of dollars. No doubt he was thrilled. But then he forgot the great mercy and compassion of his master because he forgot his own offense and how great it was. He went out, choked his fellow servant, threw him in prison until he could pay back all that he owed. In his wickedness, he lost all that he had gained through the goodness of his master. All he can remember is his neighbor's offense. So forget what others have done to you. It's pennies compared to what you have done to God, and yet God has forgiven you all of your sins. The blood of Christ has washed them all away, not one remains. And God has made you his servant, an heir of his kingdom, where you might live in his kingdom now on earth and forever in heaven. But we forget this great compassion of our master, because we forget how great our offense was. We become obsessed with how others have treated us. We're very good at critiquing their behavior and very poor at pondering that protruding plank sticking out of our own eye. So a wife tells her husband exactly how God wants him to live. And the husband sees each fault of his wife. Neither see their own. We call others in to give an account of how they have treated us. And so we set ourselves up as their king, and they are somehow beneath us. We judge, not to show mercy, not so we might forgive their offense, but so that they might make it up to us and right this wrong. And when they don't, we get angry. We fume and obsess over their actions. Anger is far more than rage. Anger is displeasure. Anger is refusing to forgive someone. Anger is not wanting to talk with someone. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, our Lord says. God's anger toward you was emptied out on Calvary. Nothing is left. Christ has paid it in full. He has satisfied it fully so that you might have peace with God. But do not think that you can be reconciled to God and somehow live at odds with your neighbor. The servant tried this, and what happened to him? He was handed over to the jailer to be tortured. You cannot be at peace with God if you refuse to let go of your anger against your neighbor. So leave your gift at the altar. First go and reconcile with your brother, then come and offer your gift. For God is your king. God alone is your king. And he is the one who calls you in to give an account of how you have lived. So how have you treated others? You should be quick to forgive, quick to show mercy and love. How have you handled your riches or your poverty? You should not complain or worry, but you should fall down and give thanks to God who gives as he determines. You should be patient. And you still should be generous, whether you are rich or poor, for even that widow gave her 2 small copper coins. Do not hate. Do not lust. Do not be greedy. Do not covet. Be content with God's gifts, for he has given them to you and not to others. Right now, the king has called you in to give an account of how you live. So tell me, how have you done? Omit nothing, because on the last day, he will bring to light the things hidden in darkness and will expose every thought of your heart. But we're not nearly as upset over these things as we are about how others treat us. We lose sleep over that. We foam and we get angry over those things. Their offense consumes us, and we can't believe that they would be so evil while our sins seemingly just drift away into the background. And then we stand before God and ask him to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If God were to treat us as we treat others, who of us could be saved? Nothing stokes the wrath of God like us dwelling on the sins of others, sins that he himself has already paid for. But when we remember our own offenses, our anger begins to subside. For why should it trouble you when others mistreat you? Naked you came into the world, and naked you will depart. Why should it bother you when someone ruins your reputation? Are you not a sinful beggar? Have their words changed your status in God's kingdom? So bite your tongue and do not give credence to their words by giving in to anger. Be slow to speak, but always quick to forgive. If Abraham, the father of our faith, confessed he was nothing but dust and ashes, should you be honored more? If David called himself a worm and not a man, can you claim to be more? If Moses fell face down before God, begging God to forgive those who attacked his reputation, how can you defiantly stand upright? Need I mention our Lord? The insults, the spit, the purple robe. Look at his torn back, his brow, his pierced hands. His only covering is his own blood. And yet somehow you feel justified to ignore your neighbor and to speak ill of him. Repent. The debt you owe your God far exceeds what anyone else can owe you. What God forgives is far greater. And he covered each one of your sins with his own blood. Forgiveness costs you nothing, but it cost God his very life. God didn't simply cancel your debt, but he paid your debt in full. He bore the expense, while those he forgives receive even more of his riches. So nothing is left. Nothing more needs to be done, for Christ has satisfied that debt fully and completely. Forgiveness, then, is not a second chance for you to get it right. For even if you would have a second, third, or seventh chance, you still would get it wrong. Here's where Peter gets it wrong. He wants to show mercy. He wants to show compassion as God is compassionate. But he's viewing forgiveness as a second, third, seventh chance. Forgiveness is a covering. That is why God's forgiveness and our forgiveness should be boundless. And God's is. For that covering of Christ remains a perfect covering each and every day. Draped over you in baptism, Christ's forgiveness still rings true. You are a servant of God and child of the Father. He is your righteousness. He is your peace. He is your perfection. He is the reason that you are reconciled to God. His pierced hands always reveal God's love for you, and his open side reveal God's will for you. And so God will forgive you. God does forgive you because Christ himself has paid the debt in full. Does not Scripture teach us that all our righteous acts are filthy rags? Then all you do, all you say, yes, even everything you think is stained with sin. You may not see it, but God does. And now you see just how great and wide and deep the love and forgiveness of God is. Far more than you and I can ponder or comprehend. So pray that God forgives all that he sees. Do not be ashamed to come to him. Do not be ashamed to confess your sins. For he sees it, whether you confess it or not. And besides, God desires your salvation far more than you could possibly desire it. And the more you recognize your own unworthiness, the more you are properly prepared to receive him. For faith is just that. Faith is the belief that you are nothing and deserve nothing good from God. And yet it is also the belief that God will still forgive you and still bless you because of his Son. So the foolish forget their offenses. The wise remember them. For the more we recognize how far we have fallen, the more we see the great lengths our God went to save us. And the more gentle we become. So if you must remember sin, remember your own sin. If you remember your own sin, you won't have time to ponder the sins of others. And when you remember your own sins, you cannot help but marvel at the depths of God's forgiving love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.